I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I offer up a safe space to the independent thinker out there, the curious thinker out there, the one considering other ideas or interested in things maybe you haven't thought about before. Tomorrow, speaking of things many people haven't thought about before, tomorrow I'm going to have a guy on the second hour tomorrow's show from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. If you want to see what this organization is about, I think they've got some very interesting videos. You can go to AE911Truth. I believe it's .com or .org. I keep saying that. It's one of the two. And these are people who looked at the, particularly at the building collapses on 9/11 and said, hey, wait a second. These are architects and engineers that looked at the situation and said, that doesn't make sense. These things actually violated the laws of physics when they collapsed. Doesn't seem like we're getting the whole story on 9/11. So anyway, we've got somebody on tomorrow, one of the members there who has written a new book trying to call some attention to 9/11. These are very interesting things, as I said, if there's things you've not considered before. It kind of interesting to me. I don't know, within the conservative side of things, as the left seems to move more and more into the loving arms of the government, they now love the FBI. More about that later. They love the CIA because the CIA is over there helping with Ukraine. I mean, you know, the left has gone full-on establishment authoritarian. And I wonder if the right is a little bit more open. If they lied to you about COVID and the genetic therapies, if they've lied to you about Russiagate, they've lied to you about all these other things. Is it at all possible? Is there any way? I mean, or is this is there that line? So many people think there's that line. Well, yeah, we know the government lies to us, but they wouldn't lie about that, Mike. Come on now. When it comes to 9/11, maybe people will become more and more open to the idea that maybe we weren't quite told the truth on this event that launched us into decades now of war. Quotes of the day today. This is a great one. Boy, I love this one. Now, this is from Jack Kerouac. He said, great things are not accomplished by those who yield to trends and fads and popular opinion. Great things are not accomplished by those who yield to trends and fads and popular opinion. Well, from his lips to God's ears, because I certainly do not yield to trends, fads, and popular opinion here on this show. Libertarian Party tweeted out, the IRS, Federal Reserve, FBI, and CIA are all wicked and beyond repair. Instead of reform, we seek to abolish them all. I don't know how conservatives are open to that yet. You'll cling to your reform. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Republican. I think I might have read a tweet from a Republican the other day asking for reform on these things. And I asked the question at the time, can you think of one time ever in the history of the United States that anything has been reformed and come out smelling like a rose on the other side? How many times have we attempted to reform the Department of Education, No Child Left Behind, Head Start, all kinds of these things? They always monkey around with these things. There are always this idea that we're going to reform it. Yes, we got caught doing something horrific. Right now, the CDC is undergoing a, air quote here in the studio, reform. They are self-examining what they could have done better. I haven't seen the results of their study as they are trying to reform the CDC, but I'm going to guess it involves, they just needed a little bit more power and a whole lot more money. I would imagine that's what the result of that self-examination will be. So we'll see. While Republicans will call for reforms to all of these agencies, the Libertarian Party says the IRS, Federal Reserve, FBI, and CIA are all wicked and beyond repair. Instead of reform, we seek to abolish them all. I wanted to take a look at some financial stuff real quick. See how Joe Biden's non-recession is shaping up these days. A concerning survey of 700 executives reveals that half of them are either actively reducing headcount or plan to, while 52% have implemented hiring freezes, according to Bloomberg. The survey conducted last month by consultant PwC also found that more than 40% of executives are rescinding job offers, while a similar amount are reducing or eliminating sign-on bonuses that were all the rage amid the tight job market just months ago. A lot of the Biden talking points have been, we can't be in a recession. Have you looked at the job market? We've pointed out here, the job market is usually a lagging indicator. Obviously, during any kind of a bubble, you always have good jobs numbers. We had great jobs numbers leading into 2007. How did that work out for us, 2008, 2009, 2010? So executives out there are planning on reducing headcount. Lots of layoffs have been talked about. I was looking right before I came on air, see what the market's doing today. The stock market's not doing well today. Here's something that I think deserves taking a lot of look at. See if you can watch this and get some indication. The 10-year yield. Yeah, this is compelling radio, isn't it? The 10-year yield on the U.S. 10-year. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Get to my link here. Oh, I want to go to rates here. The U.S. 10-year, the yield on the U.S. 10-year bond is 2.99%. 2.99%. The magic number there for when it begins to cause real stock market problems, when we had our initial swoon in the stock market earlier this year, it started rebounding. The U.S. 10-year was at around, I think, 3.2%, something like that, and we saw a big swoon in the stock market. 3% seems to be that line. Watch the U.S. 10-year. When it goes north of 3%, meaning that's what you can get in interest on a 10-year bond, and this has been as low as something like 0.8%, but 3% seems to be that line where when the U.S. 10-year, the yield in the U.S. 10-year goes over 3%, stock market goes down. Now, I haven't gone back and really correlated this at every twist and turn of the market, but maybe that's an investing strategy for you. I am not, no longer am an investment advisor, but I do believe we have not seen the end of this bear market. And with the U.S. 10-year climbing back up to 3%, as I'm speaking, 2.99%, effectively 3%, we may see more trouble in the markets ahead. I'm going to take a quick break because I wanted to flesh this out. I want everybody to remember that and not forget and try to educate your friends, right, left, black, white, young, old. Everybody needs to understand that the U.S. government is going to be responsible for the monster crash when it happens. Problems, particularly for the dollar. It was interesting. I've got a story that is so important to the U.S. dollar. Now, most people don't pay attention to this. This is why it's not talked about on talk radio. It's not a fad. It's not a trend. It's not a popular opinion to talk about the value of the U.S. dollar. But something took place last year that could be absolutely life-altering to the United States. Now, I'm not a doom and gloomer. If you got your head screwed on straight, times of great crisis, people create great wealth for themselves and their families, change family trees during those, if you understand what's going on. But there was a story that is so important to our financial picture, and I was looking for it. I decided to do an internet search, and it was interesting. I'm going to read to you the entirety of one Reuters article, the rest of the links that I got, and you know how exhaustive internet searches are. There were hundreds of thousands of links. I went through the first couple of pages. Reuters was the only mainstream news source that covered this, and they covered it with one sentence. But something took place last year that is extremely important to our financial future, and it's very interesting that our media pretty much just decided to completely ignore it. Yet I believe it's going to end up being, in hindsight, one of the biggest stories of the past 50 to 100 years. It's very interesting. The U.S. government will be responsible for anything that takes place financially in the United States, and people need to understand that. We'll get to that when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
People can disagree with things on this show. I may get into one real topic of disagreement later on next hour, but I don't think there's anybody that would really accuse me of not doing my research. That's one thing I think I'm probably as good as most on. It's coming with, you know, documentation of what I talk about. I have some decent understanding of the economy and why things are happening. The frustrating thing is that I know that I can do segments, sometimes long, maybe an hour of the show, covering a topic and really getting into the minutia. And you can start to understand these things. I understand why people don't know a lot of the stuff that I cover here, because it's not talked about in mainstream news, and the two political parties are not interested in covering it, so it doesn't register with a lot of people. But I can explain these things, and yet I know that as soon as I get done, someone will go, well, you know, maybe that's interesting, or I didn't know that, and that makes some sense. But as soon as they get around their friends, they will say things like Bidenflation. They'll just revert straight back like no new information was given to them, because that's what the tribe wants to hear. And that's a shame, because it means we keep repeating these cycles because we refuse to embrace an understanding of exactly what's going on. What's happening right now is pretty big, and I hate it. I was kind of kicking myself. I heard somebody mention something. I was listening to an interview with somebody the other day, and they mentioned something. I said, wait, what a second. I didn't hear about that. Well, now I know why I didn't. Because when I went to go search for it, there were no mainstream articles to understand exactly what I believe is about to happen. And this could be a pretty jarring event, should it happen. It could happen on a Friday afternoon, be one of those news stories they drop at 5 o'clock on Friday after the markets are closed for a weekend of digestion to, you know, kind of all tense and get ready for Monday morning. Or it could be a Sunday night thing where you wake up on Monday morning and your life has changed. For decades, about seven of them right now, the U.S. has been tied to the U.S. dollar has been tied to oil. We've talked about it a lot. In 1971, Nixon took us off temporarily, he said. He was temporarily closing the gold window. That was 50 years ago. Quite a temporary thing. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess in the span of all time throughout the universe, technically, it could still be temporary, because I believe we will at some point be back on a gold standard, or some people will choose to back their. But anyway, in 1971, Nixon took us off the gold standard. We had spent so much money in Vietnam and on the Great Society the Great Society of LBJ that we were. Essentially, we couldn't back all of our money with gold. Other countries were noticing we were spending all this money, and they said, hey, you sure are making a lot of those dollars. Are you sure you got gold to back that up? I tell you what, here, we got a bunch of dollars. We want our gold. And they started submitting their dollars back to us for gold, and I guess we didn't have it, or we didn't want to part with it. And essentially, Nixon said, no, we're going to cut off that deal. So this was kind of the beginning of the end for the middle class in the United States. Now, they did do a genius thing, and I believe it was Henry Kissinger under Nixon. He went to the Saudi Arabians and said, hey, here's the deal. Look, we are not fiscally responsible people. We've got a very corrupt political class in our country that needs to spend endlessly to reward their donor class. We've made such a mess of things, we had to take ourselves off the gold standard, and we're at real risk of the dollar becoming toilet paper. So I'll tell you what we'll do. If you guys, this is Kissinger to the Saudis, if you guys will make sure that the only way on the world's markets that oil can be transacted is in U.S. dollars, then we will commit to defending your country. We'll do a security pact with Saudi Arabia. We'll basically protect you. We'll send our troops over there. We'll send you weapons. We'll do whatever it takes to protect the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That's not really that popular in the Middle East a lot of times. They are currently, with U.S. participation, I guess as part of this petrodollar agreement, they are currently brutalizing and genociding the country of Yemen. So the U.S. said since we couldn't control our spending, had to take ourselves off the gold standard, we're going to make a deal with the Saudis. We'll protect you. You make sure that oil transacts only in dollars. And the Saudis said, man, sounds like a good idea to us. You guys got the biggest military in the world. We're pretty we're pretty nasty actors, create a lot of enemies over here. We got the whole Sunni Shia thing going on. If you'll go out there and attack countries like Iran and other countries for us, then we'll take dollars for oil. And this has been really the underpinning of the value of the U.S. dollar ever since then. It's pretty much the only thing propping it up. Obviously, when you print something the way we print dollars here in the United States, each one that was printed before comes worth a little bit less. I've explained this to you in terms of baseball cards. You got one Babe Ruth card in the world, baseball card. It's worth a whole lot of money. If you've got 10, still worth a lot of money, but not as much money. If you got 100, each one's worth a little bit less. If you've got 50,000 Babe Ruth baseball cards out there, they're not worth much. They're not rare. Anybody can have them. And they're still printing more. Who the hell wants to spend a lot of money on something that is constantly being put out in the market? That's the U.S. dollar. And so I had heard on this interview with somebody that the Russians had inked a military pact deal with the Saudi Arabians too. Huh. And so I went to go look for it. Now, here's why I'm so ashamed of myself. About two or three times a year, I run across a story and I say, how did I not know about that? A lot of times it's a listener will send me something and I thank them profusely because I couldn't believe that I missed it. This is one of those things. This is August 24th of last year. Reuters reports, Saudi Deputy Minister of Defense Khalid bin Salman said on Twitter on Tuesday that the kingdom and Russia signed an agreement aimed at developing areas of joint military cooperation between the two countries. Now, that sentence right there was the entire story on Reuters. And this was the only mainstream news that I found. The first 10 links when I did an internet search for it were alternative media. Actually, one of them was Breitbart. But as far as mainstream media, that one sentence was the only thing that was covered. That was everything. Even though this agreement with the Saudi Arabians, exclusively with the U.S., has been what has been propping up our entire financial system for 50 years. And now it looks like they have also made a deal with Russia. This could be very dangerous for us. They may not need us anymore. And if they do not need us anymore, they can dump the U.S. dollar and begin trading their oil in other currencies. Now, to understand what the U.S. has done in the past to defend this idea of only trading oil in U.S. dollars, understand one of the first people to announce that they may trade their oil in something other than U.S. dollars, and I believe at the time they were going to sell their oil in euros, was anyone? Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein made mention that he may start trading his oil in euros. And you see what happened to Saddam Hussein. Another person who mentioned that they may start taking other currencies to trade their oil was Bashar al-Assad in Syria. Anyone? Do you know what happened to Syria after they made this announcement? Within a relatively short period of time, another person who made mention that they were going to set up another currency to trade oil and put a new currency for the benefit of the African countries, they were going to do a gold-backed dinar. That person was, anyone? Muammar Gaddafi. Does anybody remember what happened to Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya? As he was sodomized to death in the streets after an overthrow of his government that the U.S. Government was involved in. So it is, you're not long for this world when you go out and you say, hey, we're going to trade our oil in something other than U.S. dollars. So if the Saudis decide that they are going to dump the U.S. dollar and now they have the protection of Russia, along with the protection, we still have 3,000. The last I heard, Trump sent 3,000 of our sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters over to Saudi Arabia to defend this kingdom. Our great friends, the Saudis, the ones that just jailed a professor, I think, for 34 years for a tweet. I believe they just lopped off the heads of something like 84, 87 people on the town square. Our good friends, the Saudis, those humanitarians that we've gotten into bed with. So this is a troubling story, and it gets a little bit worse. I'm going to come back with another developing alliance, worldwide alliance, and I'll explain to you why it's happening. And the reason I'm going to do this, I want to flesh this out and make you understand. It is our U.S. government that has been actively destroying the U.S. dollar for a long period of time, and I think it may be coming to fruition. The end game is in sight. I'll explain to you another alliance that's coming around the world that could spell big, big trouble to us and our way of life here. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes.
Hey, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're on the air.
Just real quick, something that kind of goes along with everything that's going on with money right now, but I was looking into executive order 14067 last night, and it seems that the United States government is going to be rolling in digital currency backed by the central bank in November of this year.
Yeah, I've seen stories about that. And if you've got anything about that, it's MikeMadison@WIEB.com. I would like to see that. I think someone might have sent me a link to that. This is, and these CBDCs, we've talked a lot about them on this show here. This does feel like where they have to go. I mean, you know, if the linchpin of the U.S. dollar goes, this is what they will do. And then they will have absolute total control over all of us. I mean, just unprecedented control over the behavior of all Americans as soon as we are tied to these Fed wallets.
Well, and I read the entire bill last night, and it looks like they're painting the bill as something that is to protect citizens from being scammed
by
digital currencies. But in reality, it's the central bank rolling in their own.
Right, right. And this is another one of these worldwide things. See, the U.S. is not the only one to have destroyed their financial system. Other countries, central banks around the world have been printing. We're seeing kind of the creaks and moans of the ship getting ready to go down. And so these central bank digital currencies around the world, it seems like this is what they will propose. They will, you know, if there is a dollar crisis, the Fed and the government will pretend to ride to our rescue with this new thing. So that's what that feels like to me.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Just want to bring that up. And you guys have a great day.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's a very, very important thing. I've said, I don't know how many shows I've done. The idea of a cashless society and going to the central bank digital currency should be fought tooth and nail. I'll look and see this executive order to read through it, because that certainly is very important. And if they've got a rollout date of just a few months from now, maybe this, what I'm about to talk about, is maybe they already know. Maybe they already know exactly when this is going to take place. But so if the Saudis dump the petrodollar, and as I said, this could be announced on a Friday afternoon, a Sunday night, and the next day, the next day. This is one of those types of things where the U.S. dollar could have a swan dive within 10 to 15 minutes on the markets. Now, the United States, people believe we're too big to fail because we haven't lived through those things. It's interesting. Somebody was talking the other day about kind of like the fourth turning concept, which is about every 80 years there's this big upheaval. I went through and did a show on the fourth turning and all of the various stages of society, and somebody made a good point. They said, you know, it usually takes about 80 to 90 years for these things to happen again. The reason is that the people who lived through them the first time are all dead. So see, Americans right now, we have no concept of a Great Depression because there are no Great Depressioneers among us. Very, very few anyway. And so we've forgotten the lessons of the history. You know, people have talked about their grandparents who did live through the Depression, how frugal they were going forward. Well, those people are gone now, unfortunately. R.I.P. And so we have forgotten these lessons. And now we just have this whole crop of people that have never lived through something like that and think it's just impossible. And when I look at the fact that Reuters spent one sentence on this new military alliance between Saudi Arabia and Russia, and understand, that has been our exclusive domain for 50 years, propping up the U.S. dollar. Reuters gives one sentence to, oh, the Saudis are making a new deal. That could be one of the biggest stories of the last 50 to 100 years. It got one sentence on Reuters. But talking about it, there's an alliance. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the BRICS nations. And I'm going to explain to you why these alliances have got such momentum. And it is entirely because the U.S. State Department, the U.S. government, is potentially the most evil organization on planet Earth. I know, the Chinese government. Yeah, they're really bad too. But, you know, the Chinese generally, they at least keep all of their evil domestic, right? I mean, they got 1.3, 1.4 billion people to control, and they use totalitarian means, and there's really some huge abuses going on in China. But it's pretty much within their borders. The U.S. State Department, the U.S. government, likes to export misery around the world. And the rest of the world's getting sick of it. And I'm going to give you a list of nations that appear to be about to act against it. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around.
I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is such important stuff. And nobody talks about it. Everybody is watching the political theater. I'm telling you, behind the scenes is where you should be looking. Empires are a dime a dozen throughout history. I should have made an exhaustive list. I should have looked up. We had the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, the Roman Empire. There've been all kinds of empires. Where they extended over the world, and they met the same fate, every single one of them. They overextended themselves. They became hated around the world because of their desire to rule over other countries who did not share their beliefs. There will be a time, and it may be maybe within a few weeks, where we look back on the American empire. Yeah, we have an empire, and I hate to say it, do I really hate to say it? Because I sure do say it a lot. Conservatives, you've cheered the empire. And the empire comes at the expense of domestic prosperity, particularly when it comes to a middle class. You cannot maintain an empire and a middle class in the same society. Money is sucked out of the productive economy to maintain an empire. And we have an empire. 800 military bases around the world. Over $1 trillion a year in our national security state, foreign handouts. So we've got this empire, and I don't think it's long for this world. I wanted to read this story. This is a very important one. I got this off of oilprice.com. I would imagine not a whole lot of listeners out there are regularly look at oilprice.com, but they have an interesting story here. As emerging markets recover from the COVID-19 pandemic and face financial headwinds due to interest rate hikes in the U.S., the BRICS group, this has been around since around 2000, I believe, does it say in the story when it first came about? But the BRICS nations, you might have heard that term before, the BRICS group, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That's how it started out. I'm going to show you how it's going now. So these countries face the financial headwinds due to interest rate hikes in the U.S. The BRICS group, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, is looking to expand its membership to tackle shared challenges. At the 14th BRICS summit held in July, China, Russia, and India discussed the potential entry of Egypt, Turkey, and anyone? Saudi Arabia, which are currently preparing applications. This announcement came after the disclosure in June that Iran and Argentina had already applied with support from China. gee, why wouldn't Iran want to stick with the Western-run American empire? We've been so kind to them. In addition, international media has reported that Algeria, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Mexico, Nigeria, Sudan, Syria, Pakistan, and Venezuela have expressed interest in joining the organization. An online meeting hosted by China in May of potential BRICS Plus applicants included the foreign ministers of Argentina, Egypt, Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Nigeria, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, and Thailand. It's unclear who will join and when, as there is no formal process for welcoming new members, and any expansion would likely take place in a piecemeal fashion. However, the BRICS expansion could offer emerging markets the opportunity to build new economic synergies. Now, when I read off this list of countries, you'll notice a whole lot of them that are on that kind of official or unofficial U.S. enemies list. We've always got enemies, right? We're always telling you who the good guys and the bad guys are. And the bad guys are countries that operate in their own self-interest, which may conflict with what the U.S. wants. Well, not the U.S., not you and me. We don't really care. We're perfectly fine leaving most countries alone. Politicians convince you that Iran is an existential threat to the entire world run by madman mullahs. Of course, they only came to power because of our actions in the first place. They leave that part out. But a lot of these enemies understand that for 50 years now, really for longer than that, it's been since post-World War II when we really decided to go full-on empire, we started bossing a lot of these countries around. Our military has probably been in every single, well, I would imagine our military is in every single one of these countries. Countries like Iran, Venezuela, Nigeria, Sudan, Syria, Pakistan. These countries have all been on the receiving end of endless American sanctions and sometimes some of our love and democracy bombs. So all of these countries and more are sick of being sanctioned and bossed around by the U.S. and held hostage because they've been forced to use the U.S. dollar. All of them weaker than us as individual countries. But as a compilation, if the BRICS Plus thing starts taking in new applicants, so you put together the fact that Saudi Arabia now has a defense pact with Russia, and Russia is really leading the charge along with China. And when you listen to the names in this thing, China, Russia, India, Brazil, Indonesia, Mexico, Bangladesh, these are huge countries population-wise. I think I'd seen a number that is around 40% of the world's population is either in BRICS or being considered to be in BRICS. And you understand we are actually, on the population basis compared to China, is what, five times larger than we are? Four times just by themselves? Russia is the largest landmass country. Tons of natural resources. I ask you, who would you rather partner up with? A Russia that's willing to trade their oil in your own currency or in a basket of currencies? Or the U.S. who's going to boss you around, and if you don't go do everything that the State Department tells you to do, they'll sanction you, they'll take your stuff. You know, we've got tons of stories about the U.S. sanctioning Vladimir Putin's mistress. All of the oligarchs in Russia, and I'm going to say this too, not only have conservatives cheered for the empire for so long, which has hollowed out the middle class, you can't have both. You can't have an empire and have a thriving middle class. But the propaganda has been such that you believed that having an empire and bossing around the rest of the world and being the world's policeman, that was somehow, it was patriotic to support that. That was American. That was American leadership is what they told us. Now, the people telling you that are all the people who actually benefited from this. There are all kinds of international investments, power in these things. Of course, the Biden family is knee-deep in all kinds of entangling alliances with these other countries, Ukraine, China, whatever. But so are other countries. Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis as his golden parachute out of the White House. Boy, Peter Navarro did a hit job on Jared Kushner. I'm going to get to that at some point. But see, instead of using the U.S. dollar after World War II, when it was acknowledged that the U.S. dollar backed by gold would be the reserve currency of the world, we could have used it as a stabilizing thing. It would have been really a great medium for exchange, for countries to peaceably interact with each other. I know a lot of people think, well, we need to make everything here. We need to be very isolationist. But, you know, even the idea that we've been importing things from China, I bring up to people, it's not popular, it's not convenient, but everything we've bought from China that was cheaper than we could have gotten it here did free up some of your dollars to go out and support local restaurants and things, too. It's not a zero-sum game. I'd rather have more manufacturing in the United States. Manufacturing jobs are good jobs. They are middle-class jobs. But it's not a total loss when we import goods cheaper from somebody else. This leaves more money in our pockets to allow us to actually support other things or to improve our quality of life in many ways. It's complex. But it essentially is, instead of using the U.S. dollar as a stabilizing currency and enjoying the benefits that come from our currency being the reserve, instead our psychopaths in Washington, D.C. decided to weaponize it, use it as a blunt tool to smack every country over the head if they didn't go along with what the D.C. swamp wanted to happen around the world. You don't want to buy our weapons? We're coming after you. You want to sell your oil and something else? We're coming after you. And so they weaponized the U.S. dollar, and I am reading you a laundry list of countries that have just about had it. That's it. Now, this could be a situation. They go on with China and Russia, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. But if I was another country, too, that had been on the receiving end of American sanctions and love and democracy bombs for decades and decades, I'd be looking for a new partner, too. And this is probably one of, as I say, I found this on oilprice.com, and Reuters gave one sentence to a new Russian and Saudi Arabian defense pact. These are a couple of the biggest stories that may impact all of our lives in dramatic fashion within the blink of an eye should a big announcement come out. And to the caller's point, this may be where the Fed comes in and goes, okay, look, it looks like the rest of the world's had it with all of our crap. They're dumping the U.S. dollar. We're about to have big problems. But we're going to come in and save the day. A new currency. Everybody go to your phone and get your new Fed wallet. Everything will be transacted through this. I mean, just an absolute disaster. Never forget your government for decades and decades. And let me just dissuade you of this idea that this is all happening on Biden's watch. This has been going on for decades. Decades of sanctions. Donald Trump threw sanctions around. He sanctioned Russia endlessly. Before the Ukrainian war, Donald Trump is the one that sent lethal weapons into Ukraine. Didn't make the Russians real happy. Donald Trump was providing weapons to Ukraine used to murder ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. So this idea of the two-party system, that this is all a Biden thing, I know when I get done talking, people will go to cocktail parties, they'll talk to their friends, they'll get on social media, and they'll blame it all on Joe Biden. That's a shame. Because we are about to witness history. It would be nice if we learned the lessons of it. I like the French braids in your hair. And them fitted blue jeans. There's not a lot of instant gratification to this show at all. Maybe somewhere down the road people will go, huh. I mean, when this happens, when the dollar is toilet paper, there might be a few people out there who go, I remember that guy. What was that weird guy? He didn't like Trump. He didn't genuflect to Trump, so I turned him off. But I think he had mentioned something like this might happen. That's the best I can hope for. The conservatives will still cheer for giant military budgets to assure the American empire, the dying American empire. I mean, I just know this. I still see it. It's still happening. What's interesting to me about this list of nations, this BRICS nations, it's run by China and Russia primarily, with India in the mix too. Giant populations, giant landmass between the three of them. Have you noticed that they basically, and I gave you a list of maybe 20, 25 countries that are looking at joining the BRICS nations. Isn't it interesting that they did this without firing a shot? Isn't that interesting? Russia's military budget has been something like $60 billion, probably higher now. But they didn't need a giant war. They just went around. They sent guys with briefcases around and go, hey, you sick of them being bossed around by the U.S.? We are, too. I tell you what, we're setting up a little side hustle here. We think it's going to be big. We got China. We got India. We got a lot of customers for you. We can do a whole lot of trade if we all decide to get together. They did this without firing a shot. Didn't need trillion-dollar national security budgets that we have been cheering for, like our soldiers are getting rich or something. They just went around making deals and just preying on other countries who are dissatisfied with the abuse they have had, suffered under from the U.S. government. Not us. I don't hate this country. I love this country. I want to wrestle control back away from these psychopaths. And if they still have control when this happens, it's Katie bar the door. That's going to be a problem. We'll see how it turns out. More topics next hour.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. What's more sexy on talk radio, talking about the BRICS nations or the debt markets, the bond market? Opened up the show just pointing out the markets got a tough day today, and the U.S. 10-year yield was knocking on 3% at 2.99%. It has crossed the Rubicon. 10-year yield is now 3.017%. It's above 3%. This may be a tradable thing. I don't know. I'm not your financial advisor. I eschewed the world of giving financial advice. I was a financial advisor for a period of time until I caught on the scam of that industry. But when the U.S. Treasury goes above 3%, people come out of stocks and go into bonds, apparently. It's kind of another one of these interesting things, maybe a kind of a comparison to the show. The stock market is the sexy stuff, right? Everybody talks about the stock market. You got your 401ks. The bond market for years has been, it's been pretty boring. People don't really understand what bond yields are, how they move based on the value of the bond, people buying or selling. What does that do to you? People don't understand all this stuff. But the bond market, the debt market, is so much bigger than the stock market itself and so much more important. I mean, just really important to the way that we live our lives. And the debt markets are been acting really strange for a few years now. Bond market used to be pretty staid and pretty consistent, small fractional moves every now and then trending in one direction or the other. And in the past few years, we've seen wild swings on some of these bond yields. This is probably a cause for concern when something like that starts to happen to what is the world reserve currency. But as I covered last hour, maybe not for long. So anyway, I wanted to get into some other things here as I ran across a couple of stories and really kind of still talking a little bit about the tying into this raid on Mar-a-Lago and kind of hammering my point that, yes, it was outrageous. Yes, this was a political move. Yes, all the things granted. What do they say in court? Stipulated to? But Americans have really been kind of not paying attention to these things for decades and decades. I'm not sure what you expected. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the right and their kind of rediscovering freedom, the ideas of freedom and liberty. We've just had the announcement of 87,000 new IRS agents, who many of them appear to be armed. I don't know if you've seen any of these training videos. They had a training video of there was a guy in a wheelchair drawing down on a perp in one of their training exercises with the IRS guys. You want to talk about a great way to get a bunch of people killed. Now, all due sympathies or respect for anybody who finds themselves in a wheelchair, but I found myself looking at that going, how would that guy affect an arrest? I mean, how exactly does this guy actually apprehend somebody, put them into handcuffs and take them away? I know this is virtue signaling by the IRS to go, look how inclusive we are. We'll hire anybody to come out here and draw down on the American citizens. But I just found myself looking at this guy in the wheelchair and thought, boy, that's a great way to get him killed. He is just not physically able to apprehend a suspect. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they should hire exclusively people in wheelchairs so we can just run away. But the COVID was a big thing, I think, to the right, where they saw this government, these agencies come in and just all of a sudden tell you you couldn't open your church. You couldn't go to your business. You couldn't open your business. You forced to mask a child in public. I mean, just all kinds of draconian things. And it's interesting to watch the right try to rediscover the ideas of freedom, because I think they've lost it for a long time. Ron Paul sent out in a tweet, he said, Americans suffer from a fear of their natural freedom. When people fear their freedom, the tyrants will always capitalize. And so today we have power, the government, money, the corporations, and propaganda, the media, merged together to repeatedly rip off the people at large. But this is Ron Paul, a Republican, the libertarian Republican from Texas, who said Americans suffer from a fear of their natural freedom. And I think that that's exactly right, even and has been on the right as well. We'll talk about the left. The left is the left just wants to be veal. We'll just stand here and do absolutely nothing as long as you feed us, tie our shoes. But the right has kind of professed this love for freedom, but they haven't really backed it up with much. The Libertarian Party tweeted out, this may make you angry, but if you do a little bit of self-examination, if you really take this tweet in context and stop and think about it for a second, I think you'll find out it's true. Quote, constitutional conservatives, unquote, have done more to preserve the worst policies and agencies of the progressive area than the Constitution. Constitutional conservatives have done more to preserve the worst policies and agencies of the progressive era than the Constitution. And if you think about that, I'm telling you, I have been an observer for quite a while as a former Kool-Aid-drinking neocon Republican. As I stepped away from it and got a little bit of perspective, I looked back at Republicans and went, whoa, you're cheering for a massive state government-run police force, the FBI? You're treating the CIA like these heroes because they've convinced you there's a Muslim terrorist behind every bush looking to jump out and slit your daughter's throat? And conservatives have cheered for these trillion-dollar national defense budgets and for law enforcement at every level to get MRAPs in small towns. Take your kids out for their birthday party. Go play on the new police department's MRAP. And so watching conservatives and Republicans rediscover freedom, trigger alert. I wrote this down because I do mean it, but I know it's not going to be popular. It's kind of like, well, now, and I know there's a lot of listeners to this show that understand freedom. They really do kind of understand the Constitution, and they're willing to accept some of the ugliness of freedom because on balance, it is far better than anything else offered out there. But there's too many conservatives out there who believe, well, I believe in freedom and constitutional, but if my neighbor smokes a plant, I want him put into a cage. Because that's not understanding real freedom. And so watching the right kind of rediscover, and this is a good thing, I'm encouraging it, rediscover freedom and liberty is kind of like watching a baby learn to walk. You take a couple of steps, and then they fall down on their butt, but they keep learning, and they keep getting better at it. Of course, as I said, the left has decided to just plop down on their diapered butts and let the government feed them wherever they sit. They'll give up freedom just to be supposedly taken care of. It's not working out well for them. They don't seem to notice that. They think it's just the government hasn't quite done enough for them yet. So the left is completely lost on this issue. But there are some traditional liberals out there who get it. We see some in the media, the Matt Taibbis, the Glenn Greenwalds. These are progressive guys, the Jimmy Dores. They get it to a point, but conservatives are at least trying, and eventually you'll learn some real lessons about freedom. And hopefully be circumspect on the decisions that you made previously to cheer for, and as the Libertarian Party said, done more to cheer for some of the worst policies and agencies of the progressive era than the Constitution for so long. And what am I talking about? Well, when I come back, the story that kind of kicked this off was a story that I ran across on Zero Hedge, but there's several of them too. There's a story that I want to juxtapose against the Mar-a-Lago raid that everybody is up in arms about. And again, it's a bad thing. I don't endorse that. I don't think it doesn't matter at all. But in the grand context of things, I think it's at least giving a little bit of perspective to it to say, oh, these kinds of raids go on every single day around the country. Why are you not outraged when it targets average Americans, only when it targets a Palm Beach billionaire? It matters when it goes after little people, too. So we're going to take a look at a couple of stories here, and hopefully it's more to try to help wake up people on the right, to get them a little, get their feet up under them as you start to baby step back into the ideas of actual freedom and liberty. We'll do that when we come back. Stick around.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, so I am encouraging everybody on the right to start embracing the ideas of real freedom and liberty. Unfortunately, there's some brick walls when it comes to a lot of conservatives. You're fine with the freedoms that you want, but freedoms that other people might want that you disagree with or find distasteful, you draw the line there, and that just assures you keep in place an apparatus to control us. For the 1,000,000th time, I believe, you cannot pick and choose your freedoms. We're either free human beings or we're not. And so if there's not a victim to a crime, if you're not taking someone's stuff, assaulting, attacking, not violent on somebody else, if you're not aggressing towards another person, the fact that it's a crime to ride down the street without a helmet on your motorcycle, it may not be wise. But I know all kinds of dumb things we do out there. You know, really, why don't we just make divorce illegal, or at least adultery? Shouldn't adultery be do you know the carnage that wrecks through families and what happens to the children of divorce and all these? I mean, there's all kinds of things, moral failings of human beings that cause all kinds of collateral damage and not good for us as a society. Why do we draw these kind of arbitrary lines on those things? Let's just go on full on Sharia law here. But, you know, conservatives are starting to see these things, and it may be one of the great benefits of the Trump term. Is that people are at least talking about these things more. They, as I say, the Overton window is pretty thin for what they will consider freedoms, and it's basically, hey, that's something I want to do, so you need to back up off of me. If it's something that somebody else wants to do that I don't want to do, oh, you can take them to jail, that's fine. If they shouldn't have done the crime if they can't do the time. Now, I saw this story on Zero Hedge. A new report from the gun blog website Ammo Land and Shooting Sports News claims that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, ATF, agents have shown up at the homes of multiple people to confiscate previously legal force reset triggers for AR-15 style rifles that were recently classified as, quote, machine guns. According to the report, it is unknown how the ATF acquired the customer's information, though the owners in question acquired their triggers through Gun Broker on the Rare Breed Triggers website. Now, this is a guy named Paul Britton Finch. He got a knock on his door from ATF agents. He said this, quote, just a heads up, I got a visit today from the AFT. He says, this says AFT, but for a trigger I bought from a gun broker and one from Rare Breed directly. Hide your dogs, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming a knocking. He continued, I don't want to say much more on here because they, ATF, do in fact watch this group and who posts what information. So take what you will of it. They're out there with all this information you used to buy them with and enough to prosecute you if they wish to push it. Yeah, it sucks, but that's the reality of right now. He provided pictures of the special agent's identification cards who visited his home that served him with a, quote, warning notice. You may be in violation of federal law. Now, should we say to this guy, hey, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime? And this is one of these things, and this was something that I was pointing out long before COVID here. Again, I'm a libertarian guy. I believe we actually are free human beings, and if there's we're just living our lives, even if someone else doesn't really approve of the way we're living our lives, as long as we're not harming anybody else, then we should be left alone. And I've said for days leading up to COVID, for years leading up to COVID, I said, here's the problem you have with this idea of you got to obey the law. The conservative mantra that has been, I'm a law-abiding taxpayer. I mean, think about that for just a second through the lens of freedom and liberty. I'm a law-abiding, meaning I do anything they tell me to, and I give them all my money. That's a real statement of freedom and individuality, isn't it? I'm sure that's what the founding fathers must be. Oh, they must be rocking in their graves going, you're what? A law-abiding taxpayer? For the love of God, we fought a pretty brutal war to get away from having to bow to the whims of the crown and have them confiscate our wealth. And now you're boasting about the fact you're a law-abiding taxpayer? But with the point that I made years previous to COVID was I said, here's the problem with this idea that if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. I'm not doing anything wrong, so why do I care if the NSA is spying on me? They're doing it to protect us all. These are the things that came out of the right. And now, of course, the left has embraced this as they've gone full-on authoritarian. Let me make no mistake here. You haven't tuned into some radical left-wing show. The left is lost in this, save the few good liberals that are out there that still actually believe in civil rights. They were better on those things than the right was. There are still liberals out there who are still anti-war. They've been better on those things than the right has been. Now the right is rediscovering its opposition to these endless foreign wars. But my point had been for years before COVID, I said, here's the problem with that. When they make something that you do right now that's perfectly normal and legal and honorable and moral, when they make that illegal, what will you do then? You've already given all of this money and power to this law enforcement because they convinced you they were only going after, and then insert bad guy here, the drug dealer, the radical terrorist. And so you lavished all of this power and money and equipment and everything into these huge agencies saying, well, they're going after just the bad guys. And then suddenly COVID hits. And you know who the bad guys were? The pastor. The pastor who dared to assemble his flock in the parking lot in their own cars, and the police came and rousted him. The business owner who dared to open the doors or possibly breach the 25% occupancy ordered by King Tate. So this is always the danger. They will take the more power that you give agencies and law enforcement, the more they will take. There's a big story. I don't think I clipped it for today about a civil asset forfeiture thing. $67,000, an appeal court has finally ruled in this one guy's favor that I think in 2018, he didn't get pulled over. He was actually asleep in his car. He was drunk. He wasn't driving. But, you know, if you're sitting in the driver's seat of your car and you're drunk, even if you're passed out, not moving the vehicle, you will get arrested. Either if the car is running, you can get a DUI. If the car is not running, as in this guy's case, he got a public intoxication thing, where he might have actually been doing the responsible thing, is just sleeping it off in his car. Anyway, he was asleep in his car. The cops rousted him, gave him a public intoxication thing. Then they searched his trunk and found $67,000. So the cops just said, well, we're taking that. And I said, well, what are you accusing me of? And they said, we don't know, but nobody needs to have $67,000 in the trunk of their car. And a court ruled in the law enforcement's favor. They got to keep the money. It was appealed to an appeals court, and the appeals court said, you can't just go around taking people's money and then making them prove their innocence to you. That's not how it works in this country. But for years and years, that is how it has worked. So in the context of, like, the Mar-a-Lago raid, you know, to me, and I know I'm on an intellectual island here, I look at that like, oh, look at that. Something happened to Trump that's been happening to the American people over and over again every single week for decades. And maybe this is more important because you believe he's going to shepherd us into this Shangri-La of freedom and tranquility here in the United States and prosperity. I don't share that belief, but the bottom line is what took place at Mar-a-Lago happens all the time to us normies out here. Are conservatives outraged about that? I mean, I saw calls for civil war. This is war. I saw this several times. This is war. But that's kind of weird to me. I'm like, well, they've been attacking your neighbors. They've been attacking your neighbors for decades. I got a story about that in just a second. You want to know about some troublemakers? I got a story about the Amish. Oh. Yeah, no greater threat to our country than those Amish. Thank God we've got law enforcement to protect us against the Amish. I got great admiration for the Amish when they basically, the Amish, I've done the story before around COVID, the Amish communities, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, during COVID, they really kind of had the same approach that I did, yet they had bigger cojones to implement their approach. For the first couple of weeks, they all kind of huddled in their homes. They all, you know, they canceled a couple of services and stuff while they got information about COVID. And then after I think it was about 2 weeks, they went, oh, okay, we know what we're dealing with here. And they just went back to their way of life, Amish did. Now, some people got sick and they lost a few people. COVID just went all the way through some of these Amish communities. So now they're all boasting a bright, shining new natural immunity. And a few of the elderly people passed away, which is the same thing that happens during flu seasons. They get pneumonia. They die. But they kept holding services. They just went on with their lives and their businesses boomed. Amish businesses, they didn't slow down any of their manufacturing. The Amish make a lot of products. I've really had some real admiration for the Amish, particularly in the days of COVID. But I tell you what, I'm going to play a story when we come back. Those Amish. Thank goodness we got some laws on the books to deal with that violent gang. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, talking about conservatives and the right. I'm applauding it. It's kind of finding their footing when it comes to freedom and liberty, these kinds of things. The problem is that you focus in on so intently on a few things and ignore so much, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. This was a story that I ran across. This was reported by Rebel News, not MSNBC. Not Fox News, not any of them. I find this on Rebel News. And I just juxtapose this against the Mar-a-Lago raid. Now, again, I guess I need to say this. People tune in and out, and some people are just triggered by my kind of apathy about the Mar-a-Lago thing. To be honest with you, Trump's done great with it. So at the very least, you should almost be applauding it. A lot of people saying, boy, this really put some gasoline on the fire of his candidacy for 2024. This was a great rallying cry for Donald Trump. I'm not saying he orchestrated it, but I'm saying if he did, it was genius. There was supposed to be a mole in Mar-a-Lago somewhere. Maybe he's feeding the mole some BS to try to bait the FBI into coming into Mar-a-Lago. Jet fuel on the fire of Trump 2024. Just absolutely genius if that's the way it went down. I don't know. Now, a lot of you say, well, what you don't understand, Mike, is that an attack on Trump is an attack on his supporters. And I kind of agree with you there. There definitely has been an attack. I mean, some of the things the media says out in the open, in the public, about Trump supporters, which is like tens of millions of Americans just out there living their lives, perfectly wonderful human beings. And the media just talks about them like they are terrorists. It's bizarre. It's almost to the point where they think to themselves, look, we're getting so much money from Big Pharma and from the military industrial complex to carry water for them. We don't really care about advertisers or ratings. So we can just alienate 100 million Americans and assure that they'll never watch our network. Maybe that's exactly what's taking place. They don't need your eyeballs on their network. They don't care about their ratings because they're being funded by essentially the government and all of their apparatchiks in the Big Pharma and big military. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the news break here on CBS Newsbreak, which we all at the station hate, but we're in a contract with them. We will get rid of them as soon as we can. Unfortunately, there's no good alternatives. But during the CBS Newsbreak, they ran a commercial for Lockheed Martin. you know, for any of you out there in the market for an F-35, why in the hell is Lockheed Martin advertising to the general public on CBS News? It's just payola to keep, you know, keep the war hysteria going. Anyway, when it comes to the Mar-a-Lago thing, I just juxtapose this to that and say Mar-a-Lago is what it is, but it's not something in a vacuum. It's not like they just targeted Trump. As a matter of fact, this billionaire's Palm Beach mansion was just subjected to the same the same treatment that average Americans have been getting for decades, particularly those radicals, those dangerous radicals, the Amish.
I'm Jeremy Lofredo for Rebel News in Birkenhead, Pennsylvania. It's here, in this old Amish community where armed federal agents recently raided Miller's Organic Meat and Dairy Farm. Ah! The government is arguing that the farm isn't adhering to federal regulatory requirements concerning food, while the farm argues that this is just the latest attack on independent farmers giving their communities healthy food.
The Miller Organic Farm in Birkenhead, Pennsylvania, a remote Amish village, has been around for almost 30 years. The farm supplies everything from grass-fed beef and cheese to raw milk and organic eggs to dairy from grass-fed on-site water buffalo and all types of produce to roughly 4,000 private food club members who pay top dollar for high-quality whole food. The private food club members cherish their ability to get food from an independent farmer who isn't processing his meat and dairy at United States Department of Agriculture facilities, which mandates food be prepared in ways that Miller believes make it less nutritious. Miller contends that he's preparing food the way God intended. The U.S. government doesn't see it that way. They recently sent armed federal agents to the farm and demanded he cease operations. The government is also looking for more than $300,000 in fines, a request so steep it would put the farm out of business. This is an attack on Amish religious freedoms just 150 miles outside of Washington, D.C. It also speaks to the gross corruption at the USDA. As is available on the USDA's site, the agency is funded mostly by the federal government, but it also receives hundreds of millions of dollars from the agricultural industry. Companies like Bayer, Syngenta, and Cargill stand to lose millions, even billions of dollars worth of market share if more American farmers opted for holistic farming practices like Miller's Farm instead of chemical-heavy, technology-heavy, industry-friendly practices. Making it even more independent, Miller's Farm doesn't use any gasoline or fertilizer. And
they've got a picture here of the horses pulling the plow down the field. I mean, this is sustainable, baby. You would think the Biden administration, you know, our government overlords and the Green Movement would just be cheering on Amish. This is just the absurdity of it. Now, this really kind of, this scratches me where I itch. It is overarching government abuse of a private industry doing no harm to anybody. 4,000 families pay top dollar to subscribe to this farm to get good quality meat. Much like you'll find at Stonington's Farm, stoningtonfarm.com. They provide Mississippi-born, raised, and processed cattle that is grass-fed with no antibiotics, no hormones, and they do it right here in the state of Mississippi down in Perkiston. You can check them out, stoningtonfarm.com. They are providing good quality, for now, anyway. Maybe I shouldn't tie them to this segment. They may come under attack. This is a great farm, seriously, stoningtonfarm.com. You can buy in bulk. They'll ship up here to Jackson. You can get good quality, better nutrition meat for less money than the sweatshop beef that's on the grocery store shelves. So check out stoningtonfarm.com. But this was 4,000 families paying top dollar to get healthy food from this Amish farmer. Armed federal agents came and crushed this organization. Crushed them. $300,000 in fines. And seized all their stuff.
And therefore, the war between Ukraine and Russia isn't affecting his bottom line. He's not dependent, and he's providing healthy food to his community the way he believes God intended. And the government is trying to intimidate and shut it down.
Rebel News will be here in Amish country at the end of the week when the farm explains to the community their next move in their fight against the federal government. For Rebel News, I'm Jeremy.
Those radicals, the Amish. Thank goodness we have heavily armed federal bureaucracy targeting the Amish and their threat with healthy food. Now, see, what it is they didn't go by every regulation. I guess they didn't dot an I or cross a T on all the endless federal regulations there. Here is my issue. I keep saying it, and I hate to repeat it, but I think it's to make sure I'm painting this in the right context. This idea that you don't do the crime if you can't do the time, they're constantly criminalizing everything. And the right seems to be discovering that this system has been put in place. The problem is you've facilitated it.
for decades and decades. So it takes really kind of a wholesale 180-degree mind shift to start accepting the idea that law enforcement is out there enforcing some pretty ridiculous laws and regulations just from a political and bureaucratic class. Not because it keeps you safe. Not because they care about you and love you and are trying to maintain order in our societies. No, they're just out enforcing politicians' rules. You understand the difference in that? And why, as a libertarian, I'm not on this thing where, you know, I know a lot of cops. I've talked about even the FBI. Talked about it in the past. The first couple of FBI guys I kind of got to know were parents of some kids I coached soccer with. And I've said it before. These were a couple of the sharpest guys I'd ever met. Like a lot of charisma, really sharp, great family men. I mean that in earnest. I'm not trying to equivocate my complete dislike of a federal police force by kissing these guys. But I just really liked these guys. I've known several guys with some of these agencies. Really, really good guys. I view them a little bit like doctors these days. You know, if you're not speaking up against what's going on in the medical community right now, particularly when it comes to these genetic therapies, it's kind of the same with this law enforcement stuff. You're a great guy. I know you're trying to do good, but your organization, not enough whistleblowers in the FBI, not enough whistleblowers in the CIA, not enough whistleblowers in the DEA, not enough whistleblowers in all of these things. Now, they may be ignored anyway. But it's kind of like, yeah, you may be a great guy and you may have done some great work, but you got to stand up and talk against this stuff. It's the same thing that I think should happen in the medical community, and it's happening more and more. And the, you know, doctors, they suffer the same consequences. They can be stripped of their license, lose their jobs if they speak out against whatever the government is pushing at the time. Right now, it's these genetic therapies. And so it is time. But this is why I do not have this knee-jerk reaction that most conservative talk show hosts have, where it's just like, if anything happens and law enforcement's involved, I'm going to immediately look for how law enforcement's on the right side of this thing. And whoever was opposed, whoever was getting the beat down or whoever got arrested, I'm going to be looking to see where they were wrong. And I'll say it again. Police do a ton of heroic work. I just wish they'd focus on that. I wish they would drop all of the micromanaging of our lives out and just focus in on those crimes where there are predators on the streets. You know, everyone's talking about crime now. It'd be great if we just went out and locked up the actual criminals, not the Amish farmers. This will be a little rebel rousing here. This is Carrie Wedler. Now, she just put out a video on, I don't know, I think it's worth some context. This is a pretty radical one. That's why I like it.
If you just figured out the FBI is an authoritarian goon squad, or you're cheering the agency for swinging at Orange Man, here's some of the FBI's greatest hits. They ran a child...
See, I like this. I like the way she sets this up, because she's going to talk really fast, so you have to kind of get your brain in gear for a second. She's trying to stick it into a... I don't know if this is a TikTok. I don't know what this is. But she points this out from both sides. If you're on the left and you're cheering the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, I mean, oh, and this is what we've just seen from the left. Oh, they suddenly love the FBI because they went after Trump. This is the same organization that went after Martin Luther King, all kinds of peace activist groups in the past. But now that they're targeting the guy that you think is bad, Donald Trump, you're all on board with the deep state. I mean, the Democrats have been hoodwinked into loving the deep state. It's really quite amazing. But that's one of these things I like. This is somebody who understands. They'll come at this issue trying to talk to the right from the right and the left from the left.
If you just figured out the FBI is an authoritarian goon squad, or you're cheering the agency for swinging at Orange Man, here's some of the FBI's greatest hits. They ran a child porn site to stop child porn, lure unstable people into committing terrorist attacks, then take credit for foiling them, ignore tips and evidence that could prevent mass shootings and terrorist attacks, disregard young girls directly warning them about sexual predators in positions of power, and abuse already violative surveillance powers like the Patriot Act and NSA snooping while also demanding restrictions on our privacy. Historically, they rounded up Japanese Americans before FDR even ordered it, harassed and spied on Martin Luther King Jr., nefariously surveilled and infiltrated activist movement, have also been spying on regular Americans for over a century, killed a woman and child over someone else's victimless crime, and besieged Waco and waged the raid that led to the deaths of innocent women and children. If it took the FBI coming after Daddy Trump to make you question them, or you're blindly celebrating this historically criminal agency, you don't understand the problem yet. And there's a solid chance you've been consuming too much government propaganda. Not all FBI agents are evil, but the flagrant incompetence, abuse, corruption, and deceit that run rampant and largely unchecked through this agency and all government suggests that political authority, which hinges on the government's monopoly on violence and your stolen income, is always corruptible, and those you trust to ensure rule of law don't abide by it. Call me an extremist, and I'm sure the FBI will, but trusting unchecked bands of men with guns drunk on power is a bit more extreme than questioning the government.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that video is that all of the headlines, as she's breaking these things down, all of the headlines that were reported, you know, came about. There was a big controversy, too. I don't know if anyone even remembers it, with the FBI crime lab. Apparently, a lot of people did a lot of time based on a lab that was not doing its work correctly. This is an old scandal. Even myself, I can't recall exactly what the issue was, but you can only imagine if you were on the receiving end of some bad lab work from the FBI. This has been going on for a long time. Again, there's some great people in the FBI. I know some of them. Really, I mean, and that's the interesting thing about me. Some of these people are really, really sharp people. The problem is they don't control this, and they've just been part of this agency that's been doing what it's been doing. And so my main point is, what happened at Mar-a-Lago, now that people are starting to see it, as conservatives kind of find their footing and freedom and liberty, I certainly encourage that, but it's worth putting it in some kind of perspective. When I see people, and I don't think I'll have time to get to it, Victor Davis Hanson had written a piece talking about the media breathlessly reporting on the right now calling for a civil war. And he's right. The media is now, I think I played a supercut of it, where they're talking about the worst elements online, far-right radicals calling for a civil war. And so they're attempting to paint all Trump supporters as, you know, this threat to our democracy. And they certainly are doing that. The only problem that I have with that is I actually saw it. I actually saw people on the right saying, this is war, on the Mar-a-Lago raid. And so while the media is as corrupt and dishonest, and they will take this point to try to paint every single person who's got a red baseball cap is some kind of a domestic terrorist because they're so disgustingly dishonest. The problem is, on the right there, actually, I saw these calls for a civil war. I hear these calls. They think there's no stepping back, but I'm playing for you all of these crimes that have been going on for decades and decades against average Americans, just little people with no voice, as Judge Napolitano said last week in a clip. If the raid on Mar-a-Lago had been from against a guy named Donald Jones, wouldn't have even heard about it. But because his name is Donald Trump, all the attention's on it. So anyway, even the Amish farm raid, I've played clips before where raw milk farmers just had their lives. They just go in with hatchets. It's like Prohibition. They would go in with hatchets and break apart all the raw milk vats and take the raw milk farmers' computers and put the raw milk farmer in jail and then penalize the raw milk farmer because 10 families around them had asked, hey, can we get some raw milk from your cows? We'll actually pay to help you raise the cows, to buy the cows, to get us the milk. We're going to sign a subscription. We want that raw milk. We believe it's more nutritious for us than this heavily pasteurized, chemicalized milk we can get from the store. So we'd like to do that. Arm agents go into these raw milk things and bust the place up and take all their stuff. So what happened in Mar-a-Lago was just something that happens. It's just happened to somebody who was famous. I've got you on the loose. I left you grooving. All right, final segment for the day. I don't know how to tie a bow on this one. Someone called and pointed out something, said, how do they take the Amish's computers if they don't use electricity? Now, I wasn't talking about when I said they went in and seized their computers. I was talking about the raw milk farmers. They're not always Amish. there are radicals around the country providing raw milk to their neighbors. Oh, the horrors! The horrors! Thank goodness we've got a federal bureaucracy to clamp down on them. State level, too. You know, these a lot of the agricultural groups and the agricultural companies have huge power in some of these states, so they allow the feds to come in and roust some of these organic people that aren't using the proper amount of chemicals, aren't abiding by all of the rules. We've talked about regulations are written for the industry to make sure they crowd out any competition, and then these become laws. So my point about this is, as conservatives begin to find their feet in the ideas of freedom and liberty, is that being a law abider, now obviously there are crimes that should be prosecuted and people taken off of our streets. There are predators out there that steal people. There's con men out there. There are rapists. There are murderers. They need to be taken off of the streets. There's no equivocation there with me as a libertarian. But the idea that a law is essentially, is it something we all voted on? And even that's bad, but it's not. It's generally a room full of people who we all admit are largely corrupt. They get together and they decide that this is okay to do and this is not okay to do. And if you don't do what we say, you may go into a cage. That's what a law is. So when you just blanket say, I'm a law-abiding citizen, it just means I'll accept anything they throw at me. I'll do whatever they say, and then I'll pay my taxes. And that will make me a good American. I'm telling you, I think the Founding Fathers would be ashamed of that idea. This does not mean it should be a lawless society. I am saying that we are ruled and governed by a bunch of people who make, what do they say? Everybody commits 4 felonies a day. We don't even know it. There's so many laws on the books. So to be a law-abiding citizen means you really have to jump through a lot of hoops and alter the way you live your life on a daily basis to not run afoul of all of the rules and regulations. So this is nothing new. Raid on Mar-a-Lago notwithstanding, these kinds of things have been happening. And I just say, I think the conservatives, and you're right, you're moving in the right direction, but just completely open your eyes and take it to the next logical step. Think of it as an ideology, not just as a one-off event. That's all the time I got for today. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.